T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Let this play, Lanfield. Let's get the vibe going. So one thing I like at TAP, we're live at MGM National Harbor Sports Bar. What they do is, when they were playing some beats there before. I don't know if you heard. I think they played a little Morris Day, whatever. But now that the games are coming on, they put the audio on, which just gives the right vibe in a sports bar, especially for the NCAA tournament. What also gives the right vibe for a sports bar in the NCAA tournament is vodka, Jeff. And today is a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday, helping us celebrate Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. Our guy Troy Macker from Bet Rivers, a college hoops junkie in the best sense of the word. Troy, what up, dude? How are you?
I'm doing good. It's my time of year, so very excited to be joining you. Very excited to get things underway today.
How'd you do yesterday? How'd you fare? If I know you, one, you probably had bets all over the place, but like you probably have 10 brackets going and a lot of different options.
Yeah, man, I'm a multi-bracket guy. I know that offends a lot of people, but I'm trying to win. I don't have a lot of principle here when it's coming to brackets. So I was a little bit all over the map. I will say that, you know, I didn't have Kentucky winning in any of my brackets. I had Samford, McNeese.
Hold on, you had Kentucky losing?
Oh, sorry, I didn't have Kentucky losing in any of my brackets.
Okay, gotcha.
And in most of my brackets, I did have Samford, McNeese State. Is your second round game, and Samford got robbed, and McNeese State got blown out. So I had a ton of bets. You know, one of the things I did this year is I placed a unit on every higher seed to win. You know, not a lot, but you know,
money line?
A couple of them. Money line, yep.
If that was your boy's strategy from Tower Club.
Exactly.
So, can you do the math for me on that? Because I'm tempted to do it today. What, like, would yesterday have been profitable?
Ever so slightly, yes.
Okay.
Now, originally, I was just going to do 12, 13, and 14 seeds, but then I decided to do, 10s and 11s as well. And because all three 11 seeds won, that helped out. But really, it was Oakland and Duquesne, because Duquesne, you know, while an 11 seed, I believe the money line pre-game was like plus 350. So those two alone got me back a little bit above the Mendoza line.
Okay. Yeah, it's like I love the idea of it, and I'm sure Oakland paid heavy. And, like, I feel like if you got Samford, then you actually get in the money. And they did get robbed. I can't believe I stayed up so late watching that damn game. But, you know, it's March, baby. This is what happens.
Yeah, it's madness.
B, I wanted to – Troy had a tweet yesterday that really made me laugh that I want to read for B. Mitch. I mean, you remember when we all worked together. This dude is a college hoops maniac, right? He had a tweet yesterday – I'm trying to find it, and Macker, I'm guessing you know the tweet I'm talking about. And you also tweet so damn much that this is going to take me a while. But basically, Troy said, it's 5 minutes till tip-off, and my wife just came up to me saying she wants to try to set up a budget for the fall. Do I ask for a divorce now? How did that go with the wife?
Yeah, did you get it?
Yes, I'm going to be honest. Yesterday was a bit rough. Could have done a little bit more on my part in planning it out and making sure that all the stakeholders knew what was on the schedule. I will say that around
left hand up, buddy. Left hand up.
To make matters worse, around 3 p.m., she stepped out to go wedding dress shopping with one of her friends. So from 3 to 7 p.m., I had a 2-month-old and a 3-year-old. So it was, you know what, but that's, you know, when you get in the thick of things is really when you sink or swim. And I was bouncing back and forth, changing channels from Cocomelon to True TV and back and forth. I was on my feet a lot, but I got to watch a ton, and especially the late night games, which did end up having some good endings. And, you know, Drake, Washington State was close. Stanford, Kansas obviously had a great finish. And Dayton, Nevada as well was a good one.
All right. When they leave you at home with the babies and they go to the shop with their friends, all budgets are off at that point.
There are 365 days a year. I'll let her do that 363. I need 2 days to myself, and it's yesterday and today.
So did you take care of everything at home? You need to get up early. You need to be, like, changing diapers, taking the dog for a walk. You got to do everything early, man. Did you get it done?
Yeah, today we're ready to roll. You know, I may or may not have to step out to go help set up a tent for a kid's birthday party at the park last minute. So, yeah, it's trying times in my household.
Good luck, man. Thoughts and prayers.
What's the big upset today?
Yeah, we need
Troy?
To make some money because we lost it yesterday.
Golly. It's tough to pick for me because the ones I want to pick, you know, James Madison has been one of my favorite teams to watch all year. They're playing just a really tough Wisconsin team that started the season hot, went into a lull, but it played really well in the Big Ten tournament. And Wisconsin's just a really hard team to bet against. You know, I don't love, you know, Yale over Auburn or Charleston over Alabama, and that's a very popular pick is Charleston over Alabama. Alabama just is so explosive on offense. So I'm really struggling to find, you know, the ones that you're really going to make bread on. You know, potentially one that no one's talking about, and I don't think will happen, but it just because of an injury is Western Kentucky over Marquette. Western Kentucky is a very seasoned, experienced team, and Marquette is playing without Tyler Kolek. And, you know, Marquette has played well without him, but he is a first-team All-American when healthy. And, you know, I think they're ripe for at least, you know, having a tougher go of things than if he were in play. So, you know, and then the one everyone is talking about, not a massive upset. Yeah, go ahead.
Everybody, I'd say, in the DMV knows Shaka Smart from all his success at VCU, right? And they went to the Final Fours and Havoc and everything. What is his Shaka Smart's now the coach at Marquette. What is Shaka's NCAA tournament track record in the post-VCU days?
Not great. You know, at Texas, I believe he was on the wrong end of an upset. I believe they missed out 1 year.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah, it has not been great. Not bad by any means, but, you know, after what he did at VCU and building that up to the Final Four and then going to Texas, and the expectations of Texas are massive.
Sure.
But I don't think there's a lot of pressure on him because Marquette has been doing so well this season and last season. And he went, you know, he took a step down, really, from Texas to Marquette. I know that sounds weird, but Texas is Texas. So the pressure isn't there on him as much as it probably should be, which makes it a really unique situation. And Western Kentucky, again, has a lot of length and is experienced. And, you know, Marquette has some length too, but I just think guards win you games in March, and Marquette doesn't have their best player who's a guard.
All right, and what was the other big one? I stopped you just to ask the Shaka question.
Well, so it's not necessarily an upset because the double-digit seed's favored, but number 11, New Mexico, and number 6, Clemson. Everyone's on New Mexico. You know, all three 11 seeds won yesterday. New Mexico, the line has moved from -1.5 to -3. You know, Clemson started the season real hot, but they haven't done anything impressive in a month and a half or so. So, you know, but that's one where I may just fade New Mexico simply because it is the hot public play amongst the double-digit seeds.
So I tried to fade the public yesterday with Akron, and it backfired in a major way. But JMU and New Mexico are certainly the hot underdogs, or you can call them the dog with fleas if you want. Like, how often can we always try to fade the public in a world where sports betting's ubiquitous? Are there sharps anymore? Like, I'm doing a radio show from a sports book in the state of Maryland.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, the world done changed.
Yeah, it's really tough, and especially now with transfers and teams that play, you know, just unique styles. it's really hard because, you know, styles make fights, and the NCAA tournament is all about matchups. So it's really hard to be a true sharp, unless you are pouring over KenPom and you've watched, you know, every game this year. Like, I'm a junkie, like you mentioned. I'm looking at all the stats, and I still miss things, and I still get things wrong. You know, yesterday at halftime, Morehead State was plus 7.5 against Illinois in a great game, and Morehead State was going to hang around for the last 20 minutes of the game. Everything said they were. 5 minutes into the second half, they're up 3 points. 4 minutes later, they're down 11 points. They lost by 15 or 16. That was surefire bet for me, Morehead State plus 7.5, and it didn't even come close. So, you know, even trying to live bet is very precarious this time of year.
Yeah, what set me on a really bad path last night was Kentucky's second half, because there's no way Oakland could keep shooting this hot.
And they did.
I think we all know how that worked out. Let's zoom out from, like, actual winners, and I want to ask you about two coaches that probably, especially the way the Naismith Hall of Fame is, like, a very low, as far as Hall of Fames go, has the lowest barrier to entry. Yeah. I think that there's probably a world where Tony Bennett maybe and John Calipari definitely are Hall of Famers, but they're both on incredibly hot seats after UVA scored 14 in a first four loss in halftime, and then Coach Cal loses last night to Oakland. Like, what do you think happens at Virginia and at Kentucky?
Really, really good question. Yeah, you know, I mean, Kentucky, they've now have two losses to double digits in the first round in the last three tournament appearances. They also lost to Kansas State last year in the second round. So they haven't been to the second weekend since before COVID. The thing with Calipari is,
you say it like that. It sounds so long ago.
Yeah, it's wild. Even though, you know, they obviously won in 2012 with Anthony Davis. They made two Final Fours since then. They made a national championship game as well, losing to UConn and Shabazz Napier. But the problem with John Calipari is, you know, at a program like that, one title isn't enough. And frankly, you know, multiple Final Fours over 15 years is not enough. And that is the Alabama football of college basketball, so to speak, is the Kentucky fan base. They offered him a lifetime contract. His buyout is $35 million, which is staggering. If you ask the fan base, they want him gone tomorrow because it's kind of, you know, what is it? The milk has gone sour a little bit. He's still a great recruiter, still a great pitchman, still a great motivator, but X's and O's, not great. And, you know, the way he used his roster this season was less than average.
On Cal real quick, his interview after the loss last night, I've never been the biggest Coach Cal fan, but I feel like he's usually pretty honest, and I've kind of started to like him more in the, like, embracing one-and-done era than when it was, like, clear he was paying Marcus Camby or whatever 100 years ago. But I think last night he seemed pretty disingenuous. He's like, man, we had a great year. This shouldn't define us. Bologna, dude. Like, you just lost to a 14 or whatever it was. That will define you.
Yeah. And now they're entering, you know, that same area that Purdue is in right now in multiple losses, the double-digit seeds over a short period of time in the tournament, where Arizona was in a couple years ago, where Villanova was in before they won a national championship. Right. So this is – it's a scarlet letter on him a little bit. And, you know, I agree in that this is one of his more hollow interviews. And I do think he is starting to feel the heat, even though he has a lifetime contract. And it's going to be very, very hard to get rid of him. But, I mean, that is the job of all jobs and the hot seat of all hot seat if you're not performing well. In the case of Tony Bennett, I don't know what to do because I don't think Virginia is going to get a coach better than him. But the problem is in this day and age, you need offense. Even if you want to be a defense-first team, you need offense, and he's not recruiting anyone who's good at offense. You know, that the run they had, even including the UMBC loss, they had, you know, DeAndre Hunter, who was a pro, Kyle Guy, who was a pro, Kihei Clark, Malcolm Brogdon, you know, stars in the backcourt who could shoot a little bit. They don't have any of that, and I don't think he's a world-class recruiter, and Virginia is a tough school to recruit to. So they're in a tough spot, too, because how do you part ways from a guy who won you a national championship very recently, even though his program is very unique in how they play? And now it's not working in an era where it didn't really make sense to run that style of offense in general. And now they don't have the roster makeup to do it when everyone's going to three-pointers and, you know, pace of play.
But don't the big-time schools have the mindset, what have you want, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah,
if
absolutely.
If Virginia considers themselves big-time school, he's got to change his whole game plan or he needs to go.
Yeah, and I can tell you this, he's not changing his game plan. They will still play the same defense. They will still have, you know, burned the first 18 seconds off the shot clock. And you can do that if you get real aggressive in the transfer portal, which I think he needs to do, and if you start getting more aggressive, you know, in recruiting. And I'm not sure what UVA's NIL situation is, but I do think, you know, if he wants to continue there, he's going to have to get really aggressive, which is not in his nature.
All right, dude, give us your Final Four and your champ.
UConn, Houston, Purdue, and Alabama.
All right.
And I have Purdue beating Alabama.
So, dude, you and I have three of the same Final Four. I have Baylor instead of Bama. And I also have Purdue winning it all. I feel wildly uncomfortable with the pick. But I just feel like you're getting a one seed that has been really good all year that basically nobody likes.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, well, you know, UConn is – it's hard to pick against them because they are so good. Their best is better than everyone else's best. But I do kind of ascribe to the, you know, UVA philosophy and the Villanova philosophy. Like, they've been one of the best teams – Purdue's been one of the best teams for 3 years, and they've just been snake-bitten in the tournament. But I think they have the right roster makeup. Now, Zach Ide is the best player in the country, and what everyone knows, he's not Purdue's most important player. That's Braden Smith because he's a three-point shooter. He got banged up in the Big Ten tournament. If he's healthy, he's the most important player because you win with shooting. You don't win with a seven-footer. It's great to have, but it's like having a super elite tight end. Like, great to have, but you kind of need to win with a quarterback. And that's what point guards and shooters are in the NCAA tournament. So I think this is the year that Purdue really gets over the hump. This has been not just a snake-bitten team in the tournament the last 5 years, but, you know, this is a pretty iconic program across the board that has never won a national championship, and I think this is the year they do so.
Is it going to come down to the guards hitting shots, or is it going to come down to Edie? Because I think Edie is a great player, but if those guards aren't hitting shots, they're not winning.
Correct. Yeah, I think, you know, the way Edie really impacts the game is foul trouble, I think, in pivotal games. You know, I remember when Georgetown played Ohio State in the Final Four in 2007, Roy Hibbert and Greg Oden both were on the bench within the first 4 minutes because of foul trouble, and Ohio State had the shooters that Georgetown didn't. So,
yeah.
You know, shooting and foul trouble, I think, are going to be really what plays a huge impact to Purdue's how far they go this year.
Troy, we appreciate you, bro. Let's all get rich today, man. Let's buck the trend.
Please, let's do it. I need it.
All right, you got kids to feed. You got a lot going on. You got to hire a babysitter, maybe a full-time nanny. Good luck, dude.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, bro.
That's our guy, Troy Macker. You can follow him on Twitter at Troy Macker, M-A-C-H-I-R. Something important to point out, our guy Byron Kerr, who you hear on the station, does a lot with our Nats broadcast. I believe Byron is also a proud UVA alum. Byron tweeted me that Tony Bennett has a lifetime contract in Charlottesville. So the only way he's going anywhere is if he retires. I guess there's been some speculation that could happen. I don't really buy it. I don't think Bennett's going anywhere. I think the people in Kentucky are crazy enough. They might try to pool together the money to get rid of Cal. But who the hell are you going to get? I don't know that you do better than Cal. I don't know. These are interesting questions.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got
you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Jeff apparently has put together a big parlay he wants us all to know about. So Jeff, tell the world about your parlay.
How many?
I didn't put together a parlay. Well, it is a parlay. I didn't put it together, though. I had a free $5 bet from FanDuel, and I just took a five leg same game parlay. So I have Florida Atlantic to win this game, but the parlay that was a part of was the race to five, and I thought my slip was about to be done early because it was Northwestern to five first, and it was 4-1 for a minute, but we hit that, and the rest of the parlay is just race to fives. Baylor, San Diego
but
State,
that's not same game
and Marquette. Hey, yeah. Look, what did it say right here on the slip? Five-leg same-game parlay plus.
Can I ask, what is the logic in the first to five bet?
JP, to be honest, dude.
He don't know.
I don't know. The only reason why I took that bet is because I had a $5. Something just told me open my FanDuel, and I seen that I had $5 to bet. So I just took that parlay real quick, you know, something simple and easy. And I'm starting to see why I don't like betting, because my whole time, every time something happens in a game, I keep going back to look at my phone to see what's going on in my FanDuel.
All right. B, I wanted to ask you, I wanted to have for a moment, Northwestern, Florida Atlantic, I think right now is the only game on.
Yep.
A couple more will be tipping off shortly. But let's start here. I want to have a football conversation of substance. The NFL is trying to ban the hip drop tackle. It may or may not pass, but it sure seems to have a lot of momentum from the important people that matter in this situation.
Uh-huh.
My personal take on this is that you're just making it too hard for guys to play defense.
Yeah.
If it's one thing, you know you're not supposed to pass interfere, and they've made it easier and easier for guys to call interference. But the hip drop tackle, you're just trying to tackle somebody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The whole thing about it is you can't tackle a person certain ways. You can't grab them by the shoulder pads. You can't grab them and try to take them down. I can show you the hip drop tackle from 1990-something when I was tackled. Remember that video we were looking at?
Yeah.
The guy did the exact same thing when I got into the end zone. But as a runner, when you know someone is grabbing you like that, you get your legs out of it. You don't just let them pull you back on your legs. And in this day and age, the game is getting to a point where they're trying to police everything by rules, which was making players get lazy on the football field. Protect yourself. If someone grabs you and you know that's what they're going to do, you have to pull your legs out of it or lean forward. And then sometimes it will not happen. But we have gotten to a point now where I think the strength of players is being affected by the rules of the game. You know what I mean?
I totally. And I think the constant.
And they act like it just popped up.
Right.
That tackle has been there forever.
There's this constant desire to protect offensive players at the cost of damn near anything else.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's overly simplistic and kind of silly. I don't know.
But if you keep doing that, this game, listen to me. We love scoring, but if it gets ridiculous and it's the NFL, people will turn it off. Nobody wants to see a game played at 70-70.
Well, I mean, it's why the Pro Bowl went away, right? Not to compare it to that level.
Yeah, it just, listen, man. Eventually, you're going to have the players live up to what the hell they signed up for. I signed up to play a game that I know is brutal. I know things can happen. I can't keep getting rules that make me become less and less able to take care of me. You know, and I think the NFL has to understand that. And then on top of it, you can't make it so advantageous for one side of the ball and not the damn other side.
I mean, you know what is interesting? I wonder if we are approaching the end of – now, you don't see it all that often, right? But, like, for years, there have been really, really excellent defensive teams that pop up on the radar.
Yeah.
I mean, you go back 85 Bears, certainly the Ravens team that won in 2000,
yeah.
The Seahawks team that won early when they beat Denver – the Denver team that beat Ron Rivera and Cam Newton in the Panthers. The rules are going to be so one-sided, and maybe they're already there, frankly, that the only path to winning is by finding the right quarterback and putting a whole team of offensive players around them. And there aren't enough quarterbacks. So you're creating this world that is so inequitable in football because there. How many true, actual franchise QBs are there? Four? Maybe five?
Yeah.
Then there's some good dudes. But, like.
But think of it, though, Jay.
The rule, they're regulating it that way.
They're regulating it too much. And since the fact that stats are so prevalent today, let's not make it so anybody can just get stats. Okay? If I'm going to make it to where you can't touch the quarterback, you can't tackle the people, what the hell is the defense there for? You think it's best just to go put an offense on the field and see how quick they can score? You know, I feel everybody, this is professional tackle football. Everybody's going to get hit or tackled at some point. We can't make the rules for one part, not the others. Get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if running backs get hit any kind of way, receivers get hit, and quarterback will get hit too. If the people you're paying to block those defensive ends are not good enough, then that's your fault. You can't overly simplify this thing as to, oh, we want the guy to go on the field and not be touched. I understand that we promote it by certain guys. Make your backups better.
Now, I do think there are people, like, they're trying to get to this from a good place. Like, I don't think people, like, they want to prevent injuries, right? And I get that and conceptualize that. But the other part of this that I really hate is, one, this would create another incredibly controversial call. When is it clear it was a hip drop, or was it just a guy diving in from the side? And I think it would create more replays and more. Listen, I don't know that refs are great at what they do, but I know their job is damn near impossible.
Yeah.
And, like, this just makes it that much harder. Do we really want that much more stuff to deal with in a football game?
This is what I hate, and this is where I think it's going. And I listen to a lot of broadcasters, and they get on my damn nerves. Former players on top of it. Somebody gets hurt, their first word is, well, man, they're going to have to start calling flags. It's a part of the damn game, is it not?
You got to ban preseason because somebody gets hurt in preseason.
It's as if they're trying to make the public think that if we change the rules, injuries are going to stop. You have human beings going 20-plus miles per hour colliding against each other. What the hell makes you think you could take injuries out of it? It's a part of the game. Understand that. And try to build the game moving forward where you understand people will get injured sometimes.
Now,
but they're trying to act like they're taking it out. The concussion thing. They keep doing stuff to special teams. The concussions aren't going away.
Well, one thing I think you could point to in this situation is
They have kind of regulated horse collar tackles out of the game. Like, because that's a penalty now, you very rarely see it. But I think now people are calling for horse collars when they're not even there. Remember the one in the playoffs? I can't remember the specific game, but it got called, and they didn't even tackle the guy.
The horse collar tackle is when you grab the actual rim.
It's a piece of
shoulder
equipment.
Pad.
Right.
People are grabbing the number on the back of the jersey and grabbing that just the jersey and pulling people down, and they're calling horse collar tackles. Again, how on earth do you expect the other guy to take somebody down?
How are you supposed to play? At some point, you're limiting. So think about with quarterbacks. You're not allowed to hit them low. You're not allowed to hit them high. You're not allowed to hit them late.
You got to lay them down on the ground like you're laying them on the pillow.
You're not allowed to lay them on top of them.
And I go to tackle you, and my hand is going to touch your, what's called, your shoulder pad. Am I supposed to not tackle you because of?
If you're coming in from the side, how will that not be ruled a hip drop tackle?
Well, the hip drop tackle is normally when you're here and I catch you here.
And you drop your weight on it.
I drop my weight like this.
Right.
But the ultimate thing is that guy who's running, when that guy grab you, you can protect yourself. You don't just throw your body into him. You can also run away from him. You can throw your legs out away from him, and you normally come down on your side. You don't hurt yourself. It's all types of things you can do as an offensive player. But offensive players today are not allowed to learn how to protect themselves. They think the damn rules are going to protect them.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan, live MGM National Harbor Tap Sports Bar. Starting to fill up now. Has the second game tipped off yet?
Nope.
I think we're close, but I don't think it's happened yet. You'll be happy to know, though, that I have two bets on the first game. So just to keep everybody on their toes. We're making it all back and then some, Brian.
All right, Jay.
Obviously, exciting news.
I believe you.
Exciting news of Bruin. In the Mitchell clan, how we doing? What's
everything is good at this point.
Vibe check, just vibe check. Positive vibes.
Chilling.
All right. Now,
she has a 2 o'clock doctor's appointment, so we'll see what happens once you go there.
Okay. Brian just ordered a hell of a meal that just about knocked me and Jeff out. B-Mitch got some salmon bites that were flash fried. Was there cayenne on there?
No, there was the dip. The sauce, y'all.
Oh, so the sauce was the spicy.
The sauce was spicy.
I was not prepared for the spice.
It wasn't really spicy. It was like, on a scale of 1 to 10, it was a 2. Y'all some weak ass.
On a scale of 1 to 10, no, I'm not. I just wasn't ready for it, and it got me. Scale of 1 to 10, I'd say it was like a 6.
2.
It wasn't a 2.
2.
Nah, it was definitely like a 5.
You know what? Another. Every day my man Jeff Walker amazes me because he's a musician. He works in radio. He should understand the relatively simple concept of putting the microphone close to your mouth. And yet he never seems
well,
to understand that.
He wasn't even on.
Well, that's true. You know who is on? I want to do two things. We're going to do Ask B. Mitch Anything coming up at 1 o'clock. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Apparently the Baylor game is live now also. Ask B. Mitch Anything. He's an NFL legend. You can ask him anything you want. We'll do phones the whole last hour of the day. But right now, I've teased it about 100 times. Let's hear it. Cornelius Lucas just re-signed with the Commanders and spoke with the media today.
Hi, Cornelius.
Hello.
Congratulations. How does it feel to be back, and why did you want to re-sign?
I'm excited to be back. Feels like home. I've been here for a while. Developed a lot of bonds and relationships with people in this building. Some no longer here. Some are still here. I guess it felt right.
What are your early impressions of the new staff?
Dan Quinn, Adam Peters. They seem like good guys. They seem caring. They seem very in tune with the new needs of the program and trying to meet those needs. It's a lot of construction going on around here. There's a lot of stuff being jumbled up and fixed. And I like the direction of where they're headed.
Hey, Cornelius, John Keim. What are some, you talk about the construction, all that, like, what are some of the things you, that you're seeing being fixed?
We have new carpet in our locker room. That's going on today. I heard that people are in the ceilings taking pictures, stuff. I don't know. I just got here today, but it seems like it's a lot of stuff going on. Hallways and stuff everywhere.
And then obviously when there's a regime change and new coaches and all that, you know, not everybody's coming back. So yeah. What do you think that, you know, they value with you that they wanted to bring you back?
Consistency. This is going to be my fifth season here. I pride myself in being the same person every day, having the same schedule. Yeah, I think that's what they want out of me, and that's what I have to offer, being consistent.
And then you've probably faced some of their, you know, they're bringing in Dante Fowler, Dorrance Armstrong, you know, Cleveland Farrell. You face these guys. Like, what is, yeah. What is some of your scouting reports on some of these newcomers here?
Very twitchy. These guys have a new arsenal of moves compared to what I'm used to seeing with the guys we've had previous before. You know, with Sweat and Chase, those were bigger guys. These are smaller guys, more twitchy, a little bit more quicker up the field, maybe a little bit more quickness with their moves, smaller targets. You know, just difference in body styles, how they play.
What's your expectation coming in this season? Do you feel like you're going to be competing for a starting job, just open to whatever? Kind of what's your expectation going in?
My expectation is definitely to come in and compete to start. I've been in the swing for the last four seasons, so that isn't new to me. But I'm going to give it my all to be out there every Sunday starting.
Hey, Cornelius, what makes – you, like you said, you've been a good swing tackle. What makes a good swing tackle?
Nerves of steel, being able to sneak around corners, like being able to predict what's going to happen, understanding both sides of the playbook, preparation, like body-wise, like being flexible on both sides evenly, takes a lot of work. So instead of preparing for one position, I'm preparing for two. Just being able to compartmentalize that, knowing how to deal with it, being ready for opportunities when they come.
Cornelius Lucas there. He has been a good swing tackle, and I don't blame him for wanting at least a chance to compete for a starting job. He should get that opportunity, especially with, at least right now, what looks like a pretty humble group at tackle. Probably going to draft somebody.
Probably so.
I liked his scouting report on the new DNs because he's faced off against all of them, and definitely seems like a philosophical switch a little bit from really.
It is. I think what you're seeing now, I understand that they used to say everybody had to do their job, but you see this new thing where they're doing stuff together more. They're working as one unit. Everybody has their individual jobs, but this thing works more together as a like a machine.
A collective unit.
Yeah. Right. And I think it's a little less about you have to be in this spot to where, no. You go and you do this, but you can make some plays and adjustments as you go.
What did you think? I always love talking with Cornelius because there's almost always something funny in the interview. And he clearly just got back in the building. He's like, well, we got new carpet.
Yeah.
I think he took the, you know, the rebuild question very literally.
No. I think he was just being funny. He's hilarious. And I think sometimes you have to have that type of mentality.
We got dudes up in the ceiling.
Yeah, that type of personality. That personality right there stops a player from going crazy.
Especially a dude in his position that probably at times thought he should be playing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like he said, you know, I was preparing for two jobs. And he say, I plan to be here starting. You heard that part, right?
Yeah.
So I can understand that. Listen, man, swing tackle, we hear that, and we think it's just, oh, that's just something to say. But that guy has to play right and left tackle, and I know many people think, oh, you're playing tackle, it's okay. But playing the right side and the left side, you're leaving off a certain foot. You're playing different levels of talent. Sometimes it's where you're going to be setting the edge for a run. Other times where you're setting the, you have to worry about the pass protection. So you're learning a lot more and you're putting more into it. And guess what? They don't pay you anymore because you're learning those two jobs.
All right, here's what we're going to do. Ask B. Mitch Anything next, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Phone lines are open. However, Bijan Robinson was a star running back at the University of Texas. Bijan Robinson is now in the Atlanta Falcons. Bit of a down rookie season, but a lot of football left for Bijan. Most importantly, Bijan had a perfect bracket yesterday, 16-0. Yeah. That's crazy. We've got Bijan's picks for today, including two big upsets. Guess what they are?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.